Welcome back. So in this podcast, podcast 677, the Bob Davis podcast, we're going to talk about modern life hacks, the things that really keep us going day to day, those secret or not so secret interests that get us through the long winter, the long work day, and so on. Tough times and life's difficulties in podcast 677. Well, I suppose we're going to end up talking about human creativity and the creative process a little bit in this podcast as kind of a life hack. But if you're in business for yourself, small business, medium business, you know that even large businesses and units within large businesses, you know that it's really hard to get your people into a place where they can be creative and be effective. And sometimes companies do these corporate events where they try to get people to be creative. One of the best places to go and do this is a place called Brush Studio in the West End. You can go online and check it out, brushstudio.net. They'll explain what they do. But basically, your people, if you bring clients, your people, and you are engaged in doing something that's creative and fun, and everybody has a good time. They work together. They talk to each other while they're doing it. It's really an amazing thing to do, and it's a great way to connect with clients or connect with your team to have them experience creativity without you really having to explain much of anything. It just happens. Amazing things happen at Brush Studio in the West End, St. Louis Park. Classes tend to fill up, so here's what you do. Go online at brushstudio.net. You can sign up for classes there. I even hesitate to call it a class because it's really a night out at Brush. They do great things. Or you can call them old school at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. Plenty of heated parking over there. But they also do great events. They are event planning ninjas, 22 brands of beer. They have an extensive wine collection. They do catering from Crave in the West End. So everybody's going to have fun and you are going to have a good time. So whether it is a date night, client appreciation, corporate team building event, family or friends night out, it's going to be great at Brush Studio in the West End, St. Louis Park. Again, sign up online at brushstudio.net or reach out to Brush at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. As if we were on a holodeck, one of the great things about audio as opposed to video, so podcasting in audio versus podcasting on YouTube, is with a snap of my fingers, I can produce an effect that puts you in a place, whether it is a fireside, or my preference for this particular podcast is a late summer storm. So we're going to bring in the late summer evening and the thunder in the distance to talk about life hacks. And really what I'm talking about, and I hate to use this phrase because it's so old, but it's things that tickle our fancy, things that really keep us going. As I said, secret or not so secret interests that get us through the long workday or the long winter or tough times. Life's difficulties. And anybody who's lived for any length of time will tell you that things do not always go as planned. A child knows that things don't always go as planned. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Surprises. And I mean real surprises that change things or change the direction of things. And I'm not talking about stuff that's wrapped up in bright paper. I'm talking about the real challenges of life. This is what people mean when they say life's not fair or life doesn't always give you a bowl of cherries. Turns and shifts that happen without warning. And we've all had a few. And if you've been around for a while, you've had more than a few. People leave, jobs end, people die, businesses fail, houses burn down, you lose things, people move on from you, and you move on from others. Things can be harder than they first seemed. Health scares, real health problems, physical and mental, caring for someone who's really ill, stupid mistakes that you make, and you know that you made, projects that take turns that were unpredicted, plans shifting, and so on. And there are also good surprises. This is one of the great things about life in this plane, because there are good things and then there are bad things, but there are also good things, things that should be wrapped up in beautiful, bright paper because they are presents, whether it's a new unexpected job offer or a great new client or meeting somebody new who really excites you or getting an offer for, you know, an opportunity to buy something really cool and having the cash to buy it. And it can be a small thing. It can be a big thing. It can be a piece of property in the woods that you always wanted. It can be a beachside condo if you're Lady Gaga or someone like that or whatever. Getting a hand extended to you for help when you need it the most, and maybe the person extending the hand really didn't know how much you needed the help. And again, the scale here is not even what's important. Summer, and I'm laughing because summer for me is a huge gift, and I miss it already, and it's only November, so I don't know how I'm going to survive. And a summer storm to me is also a gift, which I'm enjoying now as the rain falls. And, you know, knowing that it's November at the time I'm recording this podcast, if you're hearing this audio and thinking, oh, he must be doing this in the summer. No, it's November, and we haven't had a summer storm in quite some time, and we're not going to have a summer storm in quite some time. But I already miss summer, and I consider summer, for me, summer is just a huge, huge gift. Or, you know, if you want to think about it from a winter perspective, an unexpected blizzard, something that just blows up out of nowhere and you hear the reports and you're like, yeah, it's probably not going to be anything. And next thing you know, they're closing the highways and the snow is coming down and it's coming down and it's coming down and you're making chili and getting ready to watch all three Godfathers and just relaxing or watching all of your favorite TV show for the next 14 hours, like Game of Thrones, a Game of Thrones marathon or a Westworld marathon, the unexpected blizzard or winter storm. And then there are little gifts. People that recognize your hard work, people you know, that come up to you unexpectedly and say, you know, you're doing a really great job. Have you ever seen somebody who has worked really hard their whole life and has never received any kind of recognition for what they've done, and now they're old and they receive real recognition for that work for the first time? It's amazing to see that. Just having somebody reach out and help you, even if you don't want help, somebody who says, I'm going to help you, and you don't want help, but they help you and you realize that you needed help. Now, these are all gifts, turns of events, all of which could be a podcast unto themselves, all of which we have received at some point in our lives. We've received one of these gifts at some point in our lives, and we've also had the bad things happen too, the turns that sometimes turn into good things. You've often heard when something really bad happens, people say, well, it was a blessing, actually. And I think that's a rationalization to a degree. But sometimes bad things turn into be really positives, turn into be real positive gifts as well. So we do little things to keep going. Some people call them life hacks. I don't know if that's a good, it's a great title for a podcast. I don't know if these are life hacks, but these are my life hacks. Let's just put it that way. There are things that we do to get through the day, to get through the month, to get through the year that keep us going. And they're different for everybody. Some people have, a motorcycle in their garage they tinker with. Some people have, you know, they paint. It's hard to tell. And I'll give you some examples that I have heard and people that I know do. And I will give you mine, some of mine, and maybe these will help sort of you, will help you recognize yours. My first life hack is travel. I love to travel. And I would have to say this is at the top of my list. I've done a lot of podcasts about it, obviously, too many to link. I don't need a mission, despite all the talk that I have put out about a mission. For me, at some point, and I haven't gone anywhere in a while, the idea of the open road is all I care about it. I don't even care what direction I go in. It doesn't matter. Just the idea of just leaving town and going in whatever direction appeals to me is fantastic to me, because it's a complete shift in the existing reality. And it's, you know, I've certainly used being able to travel as an escape. And I'm talking about driving. Driving especially is a huge escape and a huge life hack for me, because if I drive, and 10 hours for me driving is nothing, you know, driving 3 or 4 days is a real good way to kind of get some perspective on things that are happening in life. And more than once, I've just had to get in the car and drive. And I have to tell you, when my son lived in Chicago and I used to, I worked at KSTP on the radio, and I was done at, we had hockey on Fridays. So I think Thursday and Friday sometimes were hockey games. So those weeks, I would just leave and go to Chicago on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so coming back on Sunday night or Monday night to be on the radio at 10 p.m., you know, it was a shift going down and a shift going back in reality, and it really was refreshing. And I'm really grateful that I had a chance to do that. And the only reason I did it is my son lived down there and I lived up in Minneapolis. So, you know, I wanted to be down there as much as I could. And some people would have looked at that as a, you know, a hardship, but for me it was really a great thing. So my first life hack is travel. As I said, I love to go. I've done a lot of podcasts about that. And of course, notwithstanding the fact that I like to bring my own vehicle, any kind of travel is this amazing change in perspective. I'm really grateful for the trips that I've had a chance to take over the years. I've gone to China. I think I went to China twice. I may be wrong. I might be right. I don't remember. But China was amazing to go to because it's so completely different and yet so similar to the United States in many ways. Northern Italy, every time somebody says, I ask somebody, where'd you go on vacation or something, and they say, we went to Italy, I always ask where they went. If they went to Northern Italy, we have a great conversation because Northern Italy is amazing. Got to go to France and Normandy, the D-Day invasion site, which was really emotional, powerful, an incredible experience. And I was talking with friends about that this last weekend, and I said, if you can do the military history tour, that is the thing to do. Been to the Virgin Islands a bunch of times. I love the Virgin Islands, love any of the Caribbean tropical islands that you can go to, although I haven't been to that many of them, except for the Virgin Islands. Been to Puerto Rico, forgot about that, and Mexico. And you have to get on the plane to get on those trips. So that's a hack, whether you have to fly or whether you drive. You know, any kind of travel is really, really, really positive. Well, lots of people do lots of different things. They have different kinds of hobbies. And one of the things I would hesitate to call it a hobby. I'd call it a way of life. Having a motorcycle is a great life hack because it can completely change your perspective. People feel like they're flying when they ride. It is a great experience. Now, if you live in the northern tier of the United States, your bike is probably sitting in the garage. And you sit in the garage and you look at that bike because you're thinking about what's going to happen when it finally does get warm. And even though we're listening to this beautiful, warm summer storm, you know there will come an evening when it is clear and dry and warm, and you can jump on the bike and ride, and you can get on a two-lane road during the day and head out to wherever it is that you're going, and it's a huge positive. And you know how important it is to have all of your accessories set up right on the bike, whether it's lighting options, you know, device mounts, things of that nature. So I'm going to introduce you to a company that really does a good job with this stuff, Ciro3D, Ciro3D.com. They are the great motorcycle products and accessories company. So it's engineering and it's quality. These are great accessories and products for your motorcycle, whether it's badass things like pipes or just utilitary things like foot pegs or device mounts. They are great. Sign up now to get the catalog because the catalog really shows you how all this stuff works. The website should be an award winner because it also shows how to install. They're easy to install, they work really well, and they help you ride safe. So I would say happy spring, except we got a long way to go before we get to that point. This might help assuage your riding Jones a little bit. Ciro3D.com, Ciro3D.com, or click on the banner at the top of the page at the Bob Davis Podcasts.com. We can get into day-to-day ruts. Doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter if you are, I always use Lady Gaga. That's my current go-to famous person example. You can be Lady Gaga, you can be Joe Schmo. Every human being gets into these ruts where you do the same thing every day because this is what you do. It doesn't matter what you do. Any kind of travel, obviously, as I was talking about earlier, breaks you out of those ruts because it breaks up the routine. My second life hack is yoga. You know I'm a hyperactive person, and I can get into deep ruts, you know, where I just keep doing the same thing over and over again. But I have a daily yoga practice. So because I'm doing yoga every day, it transforms my energy and pushes me physically, and it has a hugely positive impact in my life. And it's a huge interest as far as a hobby in terms of where I stand. It's the other job that I have is doing yoga. So yoga is a huge hack for me. I highly recommend it for anybody. Some people do different things physically, to get out of it. A lot of people love running for just that reason, because they're able to get those pheromones, or whatever they are, the chemicals in your body that you pull up when you're running or doing any kind of intense physical exercise. Some people do gardening for that exact reason. It's a zen kind of thing that you're able to kind of put one part of your mind away for a while and focus on something else, and it helps. Sometimes something unexpected can end up changing your perspective. Like this summer when my transmission died in my car and I had to get it replaced. It took more than a month to get it fixed because they had to find a transmission. And the first one they found wasn't right, so then they had to get the other one, and on and on and on. So I had to start riding my bike, and I didn't go that far. Like, I used to ride my bike 16 miles a day. I used to ride to work from uptown in Minneapolis over to St. Paul and back. And aside from making you really hard, you know, riding your bike that much is an amazing exercise in terms of many things. I got a car because I really was tired of riding. So I hadn't ridden my bike anywhere in a long time. And it was pretty amazing, that change in perspective from being on the bike versus being in a car and having to figure out how you were going to get from point A to point B, even though I stayed pretty much in my neighborhood and only went to yoga in one place. That's my daily trip, pretty much. But if I had to go to the store or something, I had to figure out, well, I'm going to ride to the store. Where am I going to put the groceries, and how much groceries can I get? So it turned out to be a complete change in perspective. And I don't think I would activate that kind of change by saying, I'm going to start riding my bike. But I went with it rather than being all upset about the fact that my car wasn't ready and being mad. I was just like, okay, well, I'll just ride my bike. That's what I'll do. And, you know, that's the way I started riding in the beginning, was the bus was taking too long. And I thought, you know, it's winter, but if I can walk and beat the bus, then I can certainly ride my bike and beat the bus. So that was the whole thing there. Another life hack for me is the news cleanse. I've often talked about this. It seems kind of petty, but the news cleanse actually has had far-reaching consequences in my life in a positive way. So you should know that when I've done talk radio for years, and I am a perfectionist, and I believe that most talk show hosts do not prep enough. And that is, they don't read everything. Because my theory was that the one thing you didn't read was the one thing somebody was going to call you on. So I became obsessed with reading literally 400 or 500 pages of news every day and then organizing it in some fashion before the show, and I was literally overprepped. They brought in consultants to try to tell me not to prep so much, and I wouldn't let go of it because I'm obsessive. I was a perfectionist and obsessive, and I prepped and prepped and prepped. And so when I left talk radio and started doing podcasting, I just kept doing that. And I don't know where the idea of the news cleanse came from, but when I said, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm just going to take a month off, and I'm going to force myself in the podcast to talk about anything but whatever's going on, because I won't know what's going on. And I thought it was great. The first time I did it, it was like a vacation. And there are people that do social media cleanses. They deactivate their pages, or they don't go online at all. There are people who leave their phone at home when they take a walk. These are all good ideas, and I think they're great hacks in terms of getting your mind right. But the news cleanses, which, as I mentioned, I did podcasts about and urged people to do, because I urge people to do everything that I do, whether it's the right thing or not. I'm now kind of, and I say kind of, on a permanent news cleanse. You know, I still look at the news, but I have templates for how I look at the news. And you know, now what I'm doing is I'm looking up who wrote everything. So now what I do is I try to run down the actual source to figure out where it's coming from. But I don't want to talk about that in this particular podcast. The goal here is not to be ignorant. You don't want to be ignorant. But sometimes the best thing to do is just shut it off for a long time, long enough for your mind to return to the place where you didn't have that. If you're one of these people that's constantly checking your cell phone or constantly checking your messages, constantly checking your Facebook page, whatever, sometimes putting all that away for a long enough period of time that you forgot how that works and how to do it, you know, like a month, is great, especially when you go back to it. You're like, oh, my old friend Facebook, or my old friend messaging or Snapchat or whatever. You go back to it and you appreciate it for what it is, right? So having your brain out of that you know, kind of path can be a really good thing to do. It seems mundane and it seems predictable to say this, but it is true. Read a book, a thing called a book, not an audio book, not listening to a book on YouTube or, you know, Audible or something, but not some current news book by Dinesh D'Souza or Joe Schmo or some talk show host or something like that. Not necessarily something political or heavy, but maybe a book that you wouldn't either read or look at, a book about something that you're not so deeply interested in. I am reading Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. My friend Jim O'Shaughnessy gave me this book like 20 years ago, and I picked it up from time to time, but I never read it. And since I have now read every book that I own, because I said I'm going to read all these books before I buy any new ones, and it's taken a long time before I went through all the other books to finally come down to this one, I started reading it, and I realized when I was reading it, I should have read this years ago when he gave it to me. While I am certainly acquainted with The Madness of Crowds and Mass Illusions and Delusions, this book definitely had the potential to change my life when it was given to me. It was written a long time ago. And if I'd read it, it might have changed my life, but I didn't read it at the time. So it's this idea of doing the hard thing if you're going to do a life hack like read a book. Don't just do something easy. Do something that's hard for you because you want to be running uphill a little bit. Walking to the store or work is something that's hard to do, that especially if it's cold and or raining and you're used to driving your nice car to work. Kind of like riding the bike. You know, I can remember riding that bike when it was 14 below zero, when it was pouring down rain, you know, in the dark, when there were no bike trails on the streets and everything else. And when you go back to doing that, it's kind of an interesting experience to do that because it's, again, it breaks up the routine. And that's the idea of this podcast. Here's one: writing with your non-dominant hand. So if you're right-handed, write with your left hand. If you're left-handed, write with your right hand and do things with the other hand, because that's now I was ambidextrous when I was a little kid. Most little kids are. But I stayed ambidextrous for a long time. Until they actually taught us they taught us cursive, you know. And for those of you that are younger, you don't learn cursive anymore. But we had to write cursive, and they encourage us to write with our dominant hand. But there was a time when I could do everything with my left hand that I could do with my right hand, and I still use my left hand to do things. And I'll catch myself using my left hand, and I'll think, huh. You know, that's interesting. So I'm still, you know, somewhat ambidextrous in that sense. So using your non-dominant hand, or starting with the left side if you're right-handed, or starting with the right side if you're left-handed, really helps change a person's perspective. Doing the hard thing. Tackle that project that you've put off because it's a pain in the ass. Now, I'm lazy and I don't want to do the pain in the ass stuff, but doing the hard thing first, so the first thing you do is the hard thing. Those are the cool things to do because they challenge you and they break you out of your normal routine. So we've laid out some life hacks, although, again, I don't know if these actually qualify as life hacks. Life hacks for me on YouTube are things like, you know, grind up ginger and mix it with lemon juice and put it on this. That's a life hack. These are, I don't know what I call them life hacks because I don't know what else to call them. But they're really perspective changes. We hear, you know, so much about the same things over and over again these days, whether it's through the lens of social media or media in general or trends. We get pushed along with the flow to be interested in things like the Lady Gaga documentary on Netflix, which is great, by the way, or Stranger Things, the latest Netflix TV show, or the latest show on HBO, or the latest whatever things people are talking about, the latest breaking news story. So if you have interest outside the trends, sometimes you don't get a chance to really follow them because you're too busy talking about Judge Roy Moore or screaming at somebody about global warming or being upset about Trump or whatever it is that your thing is. So when you have interest outside that stuff, and those are the things that are driven by Google search trends, let's say, when you break out of that, it's a life hack because it helps you change your perspective. And then there are things that people do. I have friends that do things that you would think, well, why are they doing that? What's that all about? I have a friend who actually started building those Lego kits, the really complex ones, like the Saturn V rocket. And at first you think, well, why is he doing that? And then you know, it's not such a bad idea to do that, because that's a way of changing the way that you think, because you're running in this trend that everyone is sort of thinking and talking about the same things. I have a friend who years ago started building actual airplane and car models, you know, the AMT and Ravel models, the big ones, the aircraft carriers and the B-29s and stuff like that. And we built those models. If you're of a certain age, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We built those models when we were kids. Today, kids build models of Jedi warships and, you know, Battlestar Galactica and stuff like that. We built models of the USS Yorktown, you know, the Yorktown, or we built the B-25 models and stuff. So these, you know, and you did that as a kid. You didn't do that as an adult, but my friend started doing this stuff because he was so stressed out. He said, I'm going to start, I think he bought a model for his son, and his son wasn't interested. So he built it himself, and after that, he started building. Now he's got every model you can buy, and he's built it, and all the cars and everything. So again, for a grown man to do that, you think, oh, you know, come on, that's childish. But what it did was it helped his mind rest from the stresses that were going on. So when you get immersed in those things, they are life hacks. Another one are these games that are role-playing games, like Fallout or... I think it's called Fallout, or there's a Battlestar Galactica game, or there's these worlds that people can create and belong to. And you think, well, that's weird. You know, are they an escape? Well, they are an escape, I guess. They're alter egos. They're actually opportunities for people to reinvent themselves in a, you know, in a cyber world. But they're also a way to break up the routine and to let the mind rest so you can go back to the so-called real world. You know, I'm not talking about escapes so much as departures, not hobbies so much as something that allows our minds to be distracted or work on something else so that another part of our mind can rest. So this is the concept of rest. We don't get enough total and complete rest in this country, in the United States, in the West, in modern life. And so the interest's question is allowing our minds to wander and to wonder, so that we can have a complete rest. And again, let me give you an example. Just because, here's what I've started doing. Just because I wake up after a few hours of sleep does not mean that I should get up. So I will lay there and go back to sleep. And it's usually only about 20 minutes to an hour. But that period of time between when I first wake up and then go back to sleep and then wake up again is usually filled with the most incredible, amazing, and revealing dreams. And they're so real. That I have learned to not get up and go back to sleep and dream, because those dreams for me indicate a total and complete rest, and it makes a huge difference in how I feel. So thinking about a totally new world is another one of my favorites, because it's a little game that I play with myself, imagining a world that we are building, whether it's, you know, something that's 20, 50, or 100 years out. I usually try to do this in a positive way, so I go through all the possibilities, whether it's artificial intelligence, self-driving cars, airborne drones you can order up and fly anywhere, fusion power, which means unlimited electric power, underwater cities, agrarian republics, where you farm, but you really are farming huge tracts like 40,000 acres, and you use autonomous machines. They do all the work, and all you do is just kind of monitor stuff and spend your time trying to figure out markets and where to sell your crops and what to plant. Effective anti-aging drugs so everybody's 30. Stuff like that. Just a fantasy world, because it's a great departure. And if your mood runs to dystopian as opposed to utopian, well, you can create the same kind of world with all that same stuff, as well as the stuff you're putting in there and how they take over the world and suppress people and how awful it is and all that stuff. I don't particularly like the dystopia stuff. There's so much of it. I don't think it's a positive thing, but it is an escape. So if you head toward the depressive, thinking about a horrible dystopian future, well, that can be an escape too. Basically, it's the question of where things will lead. Trying to sort of use your mind to think positive or negative about where we're going to be in a generation or two and why a person would think that something like this would happen. But for me, the biggest hack is something I do on summer mornings. Can't do it when it's raining, can't do it in the winter because it's too cold, but this is something I call rooting. And when I do this, everything goes much better all day. This is, I walk out to the park near my house. There's never anybody out there. And I sit on the hill in absolute quiet. I also do it late at night in the moonlight sometimes, in the fall when it's warm because there's no bugs. But I will cross my legs, you know, sit Indian style or, you know, out in front of me or whatever, on the ground, no phone with me, no speaking. I am not allowed to speak to myself or speak to anyone, really. And I just sit there and drink my coffee. And it's the best thing in the world. In the winter, or when it's cold or raining, I just basically sit in the chair in my living room and do the same thing. No speaking, no information intake, no checking Drudge, no taking any calls or anything else. I just sit there and I drink my coffee. It's a wake-up ritual, but it allows your mind to wake up without being engaged. And it makes such a huge difference in how I approach the rest of the day because so many thoughts go zoop right through my mind. And when you do this, the idea is to let those – don't hold on to anything. Just let those thoughts roll. It's a little meditative, you know, regime. And so it helps kind of start the day with a fresh mind. It's so easy to get sidetracked in this world or to think that everything has to have a beginning, a middle, and an end with a resolution in one text or in a report or in one day. Or you tell yourself you're not working hard enough or doing enough because everyone thinks that they have to do more and they have to run harder and they run faster. And we're living in this sort of, you know, rat maze, to be quite serious about it. You have a tendency to think you're not as good as the other guy because you're steeped in Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all these things going on, and it's you're always looking over here, and everything seems to have a resolution in a short period. And I have learned that a few things are true. First of all, overnight success usually has come at great cost and from years of hard work, and nobody knows about it. I think it was Bob Seger, the guy, rock star, who said, you know, no one realized, you know, stardom came late after we worked really hard for a long period of time. Even somebody like the Beatles or the Doors, they spent a long time in the garage playing together and working at creating the content that created to be recognized. So whether it's Edison, who was constantly trying, you know, hundreds and hundreds of different filaments to make the light bulb, or concepts that take years to be honed into workable ideas from theory to industry, let's say. And you have to have the patience to let those ideas work and run and to recognize when a little gem that has been hidden below the surface in your mind emerges and you didn't know it was there until the moment that you saw it. That takes an amount of time. It takes some time to meditate. It takes some time to pause and move your mind from different things back and forth to be visible, that gem. It doesn't just appear. The philosopher's stone is quite a large amount of work to get, you know, that little piece of gold. And that most of the time, given this, you have to be in an almost childlike sense of wonder to recognize these things. To get there, we need rest, we need good food, and we need friends, and we need to be in a positive state of mind. And in this society, we are not in that state of mind most of the time because we're too busy worrying about things that will have no effect on us whatsoever, too busy worrying about things that will never happen. And I'll give you an example of this level of being stressed out, you know. I used to, when I was working on the radio, you'd get off the air and you'd be super stressed out, and I'd be stressed out all day, and I would go to yoga and I would be stressed out. And before the class was over, I would say to myself, you know, I have been in here doing yoga for an hour and I had no idea I was even in here because of my mind has been somewhere else. And so you had to consciously move your mind to be in real time. That's what I mean by mind hacks or modern life hacks to get back to a state of creativity and well-being. No matter what you do, you could do something. You could be an accountant, but human beings are creative. I'm not saying that you have to be a left-brain creative artist, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying a state of creativity that allows you to actually enjoy the moment, to enjoy your family, to enjoy your friends, to enjoy something you're eating or doing, or to actually create something worthy of working on. Well, another podcast where we did not have to go with the trend, which is to talk about all these crazy things going on in the news these days. And that always makes me feel good. But I do have to say, there's a lot of talk in the news, especially with tax reform, And again, I hesitate to use that word, but that's what they're calling it. And it's possible that companies are going to get penalized for producing overseas. So if you're one of those companies that produces overseas for whatever reason, you got to be thinking about hedging your bets and bringing some of your stuff, reshoring some of your stuff to the United States. If you're considering American manufacturing, please consider Depot Star right here in Minnesota, American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit their website at depotstar.com, D-E-P-O-T, depotstar.com. And if you want to get those creative juices flowing for sure, check out brushstudio.net. Brushstudio.net, you can go to that website or check them out on Facebook. But if you go to the website, you'll see what they do and how it works. It's a great way to build corporate teams. It's a great way to connect with clients. Brush Studio at brushstudio.net or 952-236-1700. 952-236-1700, brushstudio.net. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes, right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com with the streaming audio. Thanks for subscribing, especially at iTunes, because iTunes is a granddaddy of podcasting. Still love iTunes. But we're also on TuneIn, blogtalkradio.com, Google Play, PodSearch, and I think we're going to be on, if we aren't already, we're on Spreaker, because Spreaker and Blog Talk are getting together and having a baby. So we'll find out how that works. Thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter, and thanks for your donations to thebobdavispodcast.com at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to podcast 677. Let the storm fade.